Good morning. It's a blessing to see everybody, and I just want to especially welcome any first-time guests. We're delighted that you're here, and we just hope that you're blessed by being here, that the preaching of God's Word, singing to Him, worshiping Him, may stir something in your heart and draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever feel pulled in what you should pursue in life? I mean, do you ever feel this sense that I should be doing this, I should be heading in this direction, yet you feel a tug to pursue something else? You know, as believers, it's hard to deal with that sometimes. Because when we were not Christians and we were pursuing the things of this world, we had a pretty good explanation why that was. We didn't know the Lord. But as believers, sometimes there's this tugging, there's this nagging to pursue things that we know aren't best for us. And so we are studying the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know about you, but it's been convicting to the core. And so this morning, Jesus is going to talk to us about what we pursue in this life. And He's going to give us some wonderful thoughts and insights about how those pursuits impact not only us, but impact those people around us. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And just to give you the context, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, Jesus dealt with the private side of our life. He dealt with the tendency or the temptation to want to do things so that people take notice of us. And it's true, isn't it? We always want to get the attention of other people, bring praise to ourselves. But those verses share with us that we need to perform to an audience of one, and that's Jesus Christ. And starting in verse 19 and going through 34, Jesus is going to address our public side, and especially as it relates to the things that we pursue. So let's hear what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, or non-believers, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's go to the Lord. Father, how true these words are. And Lord, how critical it is for us to hear these words as we live in a culture, Lord, that tries to pull us away from the things that You tell us to pursue to things, Lord, that we should not be pursuing. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You how it guides us through this life. Lord, please empower me through Your Spirit to bring this truth to life, Lord, and to express in real ways how we might apply it to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just to help us as we navigate through this passage, I want to share with you where we're going to go this afternoon. In verses 19 through 21, Jesus deals with what we should pursue, specifically that we should be pursuing heavenly treasure. In verses 22 and 23, Jesus shares the importance of pursuing heavenly treasure. And then in verse 24, He explains when we pursue heavenly treasure that we must do it with complete devotion, that there cannot be this split devotion among us. And then in verses 25 through 34, He addresses how pursuing heavenly treasure will actually impact our life here on earth. So let's begin by looking at verses 19 through 21, where Jesus calls us to pursue heavenly treasures. And He begins by saying, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now we have to ask ourselves precisely what Jesus meant by that. Now, is it wrong, for example, is it wrong for us to have a savings account? Is it wrong for us to save money for our children's education? Is it wrong for us to purchase a house or to buy a car? Are those things wrong? Is it wrong for us to enjoy money by going out for a nice dinner? A lot of you are smiling because you're saying, "Oh Lord, I hope not." And the answer is no, there's nothing wrong with those things. The Bible is full of illustrations and insights which tell us that we're to be responsible with our money. And it's wise to save money, to put some away, to pay for our children's education if we can, to have money available if something breaks down at the house. And the Bible tells us that responsible parents look out for the needs of their children. It's wise, it's responsible to do that. And the Bible also tells us that there's nothing wrong with enjoying money or the blessings of God. So don't feel guilty. That's my biggest problem. I feel guilty when I spend money. A friend of mine, when we were through playing basketball, he looked at me out of nowhere. He said, "You're a tightwad, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" He goes, "I figured you out." He goes, "I could tell you're a tightwad. I have a hard time enjoying money and enjoying the blessings that God has given to me." We shouldn't feel that way. And so when Jesus tells us that we should not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, that's not what He's talking about. So what is He talking about? Well, when the disciples probably first heard these words, "Do not lay up," you know what the image that they probably thought of was? The idea of taking material possessions or money and just stacking them one on top of the other. Just hoarding it. Never being satisfied. Always wanting more and more and more. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And the motivation behind stacking up all this money and material objects is all for selfish gain. It's all for ourselves. That's what He's telling us not to do. It's the idea that enough is never enough. In his autobiography, former CEO of Ford Motors and Chrysler, Lee Iacocca, he shares of his own struggles with building up or investing in earthly treasures. Now, he didn't call it that. He called it greed. And to his credit, he called it for what it was. But listen to what he says. He says, "My father used to tell me, be careful about money. When you have 5,000, you'll want 10. And when you have 10, you'll want 20. He was right. No matter what you have, it's never enough. And he was right, wasn't he? And we all know that. We know intellectually that money or material possessions will never deeply satisfy us to the core. It will never fill that hunger that we all have in our hearts. Yet there's always this pull inside of us that says, oh, if I could only have this. If I only had enough money to purchase this, that will make my life so much easier. That would be the answer to all my problems. And it never is." Deion Sanders, he was a football player. And not only was he a professional football player, but he was a professional baseball player. Do you know how difficult it is to be a professional athlete in one sport, much less two? There was a statistician, and I don't know how these guys figured out, but he determined that, statistically speaking, a person would have a better chance of being a brain surgeon than being a professional athlete. And Deion Sanders was a professional athlete in two sports. Do you know that on the eve of when he won one of his Super Bowls with the San Francisco 49ers, that he was sitting in his hotel room on a bed contemplating suicide because he was so miserable inside? Material possessions, the accumulation of it for ourselves, never ever satisfies. And Jesus goes on to share why. He says that material possessions will rust and will be destroyed. And that's true in the physical sense, but it's also true in the spiritual sense as well. In the physical sense, no matter what you buy, whether it's a house or a car or clothes, it'll always break down. Nothing lasts forever. A friend of mine was telling me last week that he had a car. He took it in the shop, spent $1,800 on a new transmission, got it back 2 days later, had to put it back in the shop for something else. Had to spend another $200 or $300. Got it back, had to spend some more money on some new tires. Have you been there before? Where things just are constantly breaking down. Things break down. They never last forever. But more importantly, the idea that things break down is true in the spiritual sense. That material objects, that the laying up of treasures will never satisfy the deep longings that we all have in our hearts. And so Jesus wants to prevent us from pursuing the wrong things, to focus on them. He wants us to have the right perspective on those things, and He wants us to pursue the right things. And Jesus wants us to pursue the things of heaven. Now, what are the things of heaven? The things of heaven are those things that bring glory to God. Those things that will last for all of eternity. Heavenly treasures are the way we serve other people. Earthly treasures, it's all about us. Heavenly treasures, it's all about others. It's about serving them. It's about serving their needs. All for the glory of God. It's about getting that phone call at 8 or 9 o'clock and you don't feel like going to visit somebody, but you know that they need encouragement. And so you go to minister to that person in the name of Jesus Christ. That's an example of heavenly treasures. It's about reaching out to a neighbor who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and investing your time into that person's life. And I know when you get home from work, sometimes the last thing you want to do is go to visit with your neighbor or try to share with them the love of Christ. But those things are the heavenly treasures that won't rust, that won't perish, that won't be destroyed. And so Jesus is pleading with us, is telling us, don't pursue those things that will rust or that will destroy. Pursue those things that will last for all of eternity. Verse 21 is something that I really want us to camp out for a while. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I always wondered what that verse meant and why Jesus ordered it that way. He didn't say, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be." He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is telling us that if we place our treasure on earthly things, then our heart, and by that he means our will, the things that we value, our emotions, our attitudes, will follow that. If we put our treasures in heaven, then the things that we value, our heart, our attitudes, will then follow our treasure there. Do you see the importance of where we put our treasure? Sometimes we wonder, Lord, why is my walk with you not where I want it to be? I want to be closer to you, God. But I'm not there. Why? Oftentimes it's because we're pursuing the wrong things. We're pursuing things of earth. And as a natural connection, our heart is going to follow that. And so even though we want to draw closer to God, we don't, because we're focused on the wrong things. And it's so important what we focus on. Jesus brings that to light in verse 22. Look what he says. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, it's true in a physical sense that as we physically look out, we can see light. And if we close our eyes, we see darkness. But the eye is a metaphor here for the heart. And what we draw our heart towards and the vision that we have for our heart is going to determine the vision that we have for our life. It's going to direct us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever considered possibly not taking a job promotion because you knew that it wouldn't be the best for you or for your walk with God? Does that ever enter into your mind? Now, I got to be candid with you. The first thing that comes into my mind, if there's ever an option to maybe look for a new job or to be promoted, I'm thinking about how this is going to impact me financially. What perks can I get out of it? But when you have a vision that's beyond the earthly, when you have a vision for the heavenly, you look at things different. You have a different vision, not only for your life, but for the life of your family. And so you're constantly asking, well, how is this going to impact my walk with God? How will this impact my family and their walk with the Lord? And so Jesus is pleading with us to have a vision for life that goes far beyond just this earth, a vision that looks for all of that looks towards all of eternity. And he says that when we do that, it's going to bring light to our life, and it's going to bring light to the people around us. If you've ever done that, if you have ever made a decision on behalf of your family that maybe you said, no, I'm not going to take this job because it wouldn't be the best thing for our family. Or when you make decisions, when you do consider how that's going to impact the light or the darkness that will bring into your family, if you've done that before, on behalf of those around you, thank you. You are casting a vision of light for your family and they appreciate that. And that's something that we all need to consider as we make plans and as we attempt to try to live out our lives for Christ. Now, it's very easy sometimes to want to try to convince ourselves that we can pursue heavenly things and pursue the things of this earth simultaneously. And so we know what Christ calls us to do, and yet we are tempted or we're pulled by the things of this earth. And Jesus, in verse 24, just comes at us and He tells us that that's not possible. Listen to what He says. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." You can't do both. You cannot have a heart that's devoted to God and the things of this earth. Now, I know as Christians, sometimes we struggle with this and we're pulled. And don't think that if sometimes you do pursue the wrong things, that that means that you're not a Christian. That's not what it means. This is setting for us a call that God has for our life. Complete devotion to Him. And thank the Lord for His grace that when we are devoted to something other than Him, that we can appeal to Him and confess that as sin, and He's willing to forgive us. And we can come back to Him and say, "Lord, I want to be completely devoted to You." We try to be devoted sometimes to both God and the things of this earth, and it won't work. Do you remember the young rich ruler when he came to Jesus? And this guy was wealthy. And he came to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, what do I need to do to have eternal life?" And Jesus knew that he was a very wealthy man, and he knew that the one thing that was keeping him from coming to Him would be his wealth. Wealth was his God. And so Jesus told him, "Go sell all your possessions and come back." In essence, Jesus was telling him, "Be devoted to Me and not money." And he, the young rich ruler, knew what Jesus was calling him to do, and he couldn't do it. And he walked away. He walked away. Jesus demands that we be completely devoted to Him. Well, as we pursue heavenly treasures, and as we seek to be completely devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to make a difference to how we approach life here on earth. In verses 25 through 34, Jesus tells us how our pursuit of Him will make a difference in how we live life. And one of the major themes that emerges in the light of our complete pursuit of God is that we will no longer be anxious. Look how many times that comes up in these verses. Verse 25, "Do not be anxious." Verse 27, "Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to your life?" Verse 28, "And why are you anxious about clothing?" Verse 31, "Therefore, do not be anxious." Verse 34, "Do not be anxious." Do you think Jesus is trying to get a point across? He's telling us, as you pursue Me, and as you fill your life with the pursuit of Me, the things that you once worried about, you no longer have to worry. I will take care of all those needs. It liberates us. It frees us from being concerned with some of the mundane things of life. Now, don't get me wrong. We need clothes. We need a house. There are some basic essentials that we need. Jesus is telling us that He will supply those needs. Now, does that mean that we can sit around and do nothing and just sit there and all of a sudden it's just going to come down from heaven? No. Even in this illustration, the animals, the birds, they don't just sit there. They have to go and gather what Jesus provides for them. Even a plant needs to be planted. It needs to be watered. It needs to be cared for in order for it to grow. So yeah, we do have some responsibility. But we can know that God is faithful and that He will provide all those things that we need. I just gotta pause here for a second and just laugh about this. This morning, as my wife and I were getting ready, we always have sort of this thing on Sunday mornings about what to wear and stuff like that. And so, I quoted her this verse: "Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" You got to be real careful when you quote scripture. It's very, very important. But the point is that yes, God will supply those things that we need, and we don't have to worry about it, and we can pursue Him. And that's His point in verse 33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." When you free yourself from the pursuit of earthly possessions, it frees you up to pursue Him, to pursue His kingdom, to pursue His righteousness. You know the amazing thing of all this? And if you get nothing else, I want you to get this. We would never have the opportunity to pursue God if He didn't first pursue us. Do you realize that? The Bible says that we were rebellious sinners, that we wanted nothing to do with God. Yet in His grace, and in His mercy, and in His love, He pursued you and I. And it cost Him everything. It cost Him the life of His Son, in order that you can have a relationship with Him, and that in order for you to be able to pursue Him. And so if this morning you're here, and you're pursuing the wrong things, you're pursuing the things of this earth, and you know in your heart it's not satisfying you, it's not giving you the peace, it's not giving you the joy that you long for, my plea to you is that you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's calling you today to Him, make today the day of your salvation. And I would urge you to please talk to a friend, talk to the person who brought you, or come talk to me about what it means to have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And that will be the start of your pursuit in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, it's so easy for us to be pulled, to be led astray by pursuits that are not from You. And God, I ask You that You would forgive me and that You would forgive us as a body for pursuing the wrong things, Lord. And help us to re-gauge our vision, our thoughts on You. Lord, we need You. We need You to give us a vision for our life. And help us, Lord, to chase after that vision, to run after that vision, God. Father, I pray for any here that do not know You, who are pursuing the wrong things. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would draw them to Yourself, and that today would be the day of their salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.